in our world.
The reality often, it certainly trumps kind of the perception the media is putting out, and then parading that kind of perception only deepens the resolve, I think, of many to fight back. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing.
Tune into The Morning Show, Monday through Fridays from 6 to 8 a.m.
What we're seeing is that there is wide-scale concern about the impact that both this, the revelations of surveillance that we know about, but also just the threat more generally, is having on journalists and on their sources.
Only on WBAI 99.5 FM and online at WBAI.org. WBAI, your true community alternative.
This is Cornel West, and for the best in rhythm and blues, reggae, ska, calypso, and all the musical cultures in the rich African diaspora, I listen to the Midnight Ravers on alternate Fridays over listener-sponsored non-commercial radio WBAI 99.5 FM. The Midnight Ravers, where every show is a special show.
WBAI is not only a progressive free speech radio station, but it is also your opportunity for several perks through the BAI Buddy System. Becoming a buddy is simple. Donate as little as $10 on a monthly basis, thus forming a relationship that benefits you, the listener, and us here at 99.5 FM. After becoming a buddy, you'll receive a WBAI tote bag and a membership card that enables you to enjoy discounted services at Zipcar, Bacchus French Bistro, Revolution Books, and more locations in the New York region. Simply visit give2wbai.org. That's give2wbai.org. And donate today. We are a listener-supported radio station, but as a buddy, WBAI can also support you.
Yo, this is Michael Franti from Spearhead, and you're listening to non-commercial radio in New York. WBAI is the place to turn to.
Peace. Oh my God. Yeah, my mother got us living suicide singing. Oh my God. And my mother got us living genocide singing. Oh my God. And my mother got us living suicide singing. Oh my God. Oh my God.
We'll be right back. How you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Good. This is WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org, and you're listening to Heart of Mind, Earth at Midnight. I'm Catherine, and I am speaking with Paulette Spencer, co-host of this program. So here we are, yet again. In the morning, in the morning night, I won't say morning sun, but the moonlight, or I'm not sure if we're in a new moon, or if I didn't see the moon this evening. I was looking for it. But it's nice. It's really nice outside, except it's a little humid. It actually feels as warm as it might feel in the daytime.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's truly a balmy summer night.
Yeah, it's really nice. You know, people are sitting outside. It kind of reminds me of the old days.
You know, okay.
People sitting outside. You know, I grew up in the Bronx, and we used to call them stoops. You know, people would sit out on the stoop, and, you know, with the family, and the kids would be running around, and it's interesting because I see that happening with the warm weather of people hanging outside because, you know, it's probably too hot to be inside if you don't have air conditioning or a fan.
True.
Though most people have one or the other. So, yeah, it's a beautiful night. In California, they're not so lucky, though. They're having lots of droughts out there.
Yeah, and the fires.
Yeah, they're having a rough time. They're all the way through from California up through Washington State. There are fires going on, really big fires. And I saw something today that said that they're now looking for help from Canada and maybe Central South America, Mexico. They don't actually have enough firefighters. They sent in the National Guard. I wonder if that's part of the training of the National Guard, how to fight fires. Maybe it is.
I don't know.
Yeah. So, how are you this beautiful morning?
Very peaceful.
Oh.
Which is a very nice thing, very peaceful. And getting it through a bit of this project that I'm working on and sort of... being able to sort of see the light at the end of the tunnel somewhat And so that's a wonderful thing. But in general, I'm quite peaceful this evening.
That's really good. Excuse me. I've been feeling pretty peaceful myself lately, though I have to say I have been going through a few interesting transitional changes. I am, I don't know how I would put it, but, you know, I have a tendency to always challenge myself to move through whatever resistances I may have, or perhaps to find out new ways to do the work that I do and to, you know, to work with people, because I am hearing from a lot of people that there are a lot of folks right now who are having challenges in their lives. And I think a lot of that is due to the times we live in. But it just seems to be in overwhelming proportions the number of people that are having life challenges or breakdowns. And, you know, there are a lot of issues with end of life. I've seen a lot of people who I might not expect to, you know, kind of young, who are transitioning. And so I'm wondering if there's just not some really cosmic stress going on that is affecting people. And really what I'm discovering is that at least the people that I work with, have been working with, a lot of the challenges are because people are not following their calling or following their bliss or feeling a sense of, like you were saying, peace in themselves. And it's really an interesting thing, because what happens when you don't take the challenge in your own life and make a move or make a change in your life, very often life will change it for you. And usually when that happens, it ends up being kind of an existential crisis of, you know, a person's long-term relationships breaking up, or the job crashing, or the economy, you know, becoming especially challenging. And I think a lot of that has to do with not following the wisdom that arises within you. Sometimes we get a message from our higher self, from our intuition, from our spirit, or just from the experience telling us it's time to go. You know, people cling and hang on to things far beyond when they should, and mostly out of fear, I guess. But what happens sometimes is that life will make that change, even though the person might not have chosen the timing for it. And so I'm talking to a lot of people who are in this kind of crisis, as well as the kind of crisis people experience when they have suppressed emotional crises of their past. For some reason, a lot of that stuff is being churned up right now. And so I'm talking to people who are going through challenges and not really necessarily understanding the what and the why, but just feeling out of sorts or out of place, or their life is not going the way they had hoped. And so it's interesting that, you know, I know that you're taking some time to do the thing that you wanted to do most.
Yes.
And so I believe that that is what contributes to your being able to feel peaceful in your day and in your work.
Truly, I think it's a question of being true to myself, and that's what allows me to sleep at night. and even though there may be a few unknowns, you know, in the future, the not so distant future, I do feel that being kind of present and being able to focus on what is a priority for me is what enables me to feel that I'm doing something that I'm supposed to be doing at this moment.
Yeah, and I think you said something really key when you were speaking to doing something that's a priority for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is where many people get lost because they are in some fashion either committed to a cause or maybe dedicated to their work or perhaps concerned about, you know, economics because they have people depending on them. And so people often for good reason will make choices that go against what would be their true joyful way of being or the thing that would bring them the most fulfillment in their lives. And so, you know, making that journey from where we are, where a particular person is, to that point of being willing to take that risk to do what they are being called to do is really the journey that needs to be made. And so you're very fortunate in that you have that kind of fortitude already where you seem prepared to make a move, make a change, take a chance on something, being willing to take a risk in order to fulfill what you're called to do. And so, that's really very cool.
I think my way of seeing the world, and I guess in retrospect, when I look back on my life, a lot of the pivotal moments were at those times when I took a risk, where I really didn't know what would happen, but I knew that I wanted to, you know, do certain things and to take an educated risk, not something that's reckless.
Mm-hmm.
And those risks actually were the things that sort of gave my life the sort of direction it has had. And I suppose everyone has some of those choices that they make. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't speak for everyone, but there are times when you just decide that you're going to do, you know, one thing rather than another, and you may not know, you know, what the consequences will be, but you realize you just have to find out.
Exactly. And this can be like a major life decision or it could be a minor thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you'll do something very seemingly inconsequential and it could be something that will have a major turning point. So I think that people, if they do find the courage to make those choices and to do those things, that it could make a significant difference in their lives. I can remember back many, many years ago, I was taking a course, actually with Gary Noll. He used to have all these seminars. And he was doing this thing on helping people to actualize their lives. I don't quite remember the name of it. It was, 20-something years ago. I can remember, you know, I just happened to think, you know, at this time I was a listener. I wasn't involved, except maybe for volunteering with the radio station. And I went I took this class, and I met a woman there who was trying to work on putting together this conference called The Sacred in the Arts. And so she was working on pulling her self together to do that. And I went, at the time I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I wasn't really very satisfied with what I was doing at the time. So I took this class, we met, and I guess I was kind of toying with the idea of being on the radio because, I just thought it was really intriguing. This is something I'd like to do. And so so we met, and I liked her idea because I was an artist. I am an artist and interested in spirituality. And she was doing something on sacred art, sacred music, you know, dialogue, but based on the sacred and the arts. And so I decided, this looks like an opportunity. And so we talked, and I asked her, I says, well, would you like to be interviewed on the radio? And she was like, of course, that would be great. It would help me, you know, sort of get my project going. I had no relationship like that with the radio station, but I got her agreement.
Okay.
And then I wrote up a proposal and came into the station and gave my proposal to the arts director at that time was Anthony Sloan, who's in town, by the way, doing a radio drama. But I gave him my proposal that I wanted to do this thing, and I proposed it as a fundraiser because I figured it was a conference. They'd have tickets. They have authors, you know, all kinds of stuff. And so I made this proposal. It was accepted. And I ended up doing this three-part special. Two of them were during the fund drive, and one was following. And so I created this whole thing out of a chance meeting that came out of a sort of a chance attendance to an event that I had no concept of what the outcome would be. But it was really interesting in that, you know, you could just, you know, turn a corner and something could open up for you.
Certainly.
But you have to make that first step in order to reach the corner. And so what's happening, I think, with a lot of people is and it's happened to me many times, I have to say that, you know, they'll stay in a situation that is not working for them, and they start having negative talk to themselves about it, putting themselves down about it, feeling depressed about it, becoming lethargic, and then, you know, and sort of end up in this downward spiral. And so there has to come a point when people can begin to turn that around into another direction, because not everybody has that quality of immediately taking a chance or changing their life, changing their job, changing their relationship, giving up something that's somewhat stable for the insecurity of being self-employed or, you know, whatever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it takes a lot to get to that point for some people of being able to make that transformation for themselves. So
truly, and I do think that sometimes also I can speak again from my own experience. I've also been in situations like that where I kind of stayed in what could have been an otherwise, you know, sort of safe position. But at the time, I realized the universe was kind of giving me a swift kick in the butt to move on.
Mm-hmm. The universe will do that.
Yes, it will.
and that's what happens, is that when you get that swift kick in the butt, and if you've been hanging on and clinging to it, and then at the same time depressed about it, when you get that swift kick, then it becomes a much greater uphill climb than if you can just make that choice to make the move.
Certainly. And I find that it's, I guess interesting is not quite the word I'm looking for, but it's instructive to sort of take a retrospective view of your journey, and see where those points have been in your life.
Yeah, absolutely, it's true, and you can sort of see how you might have responded at a particular time, and what the consequence was, and how that might encourage you to to make a more immediate choice in the now moment. So that's very true. One of the things also that I'm hearing about is that people have underlying, I guess I could call them issues or underlying insecurities sometimes that they need to deal with in order to be able to complete that jump into creating a new reality for themselves. Because if a person grew up in a situation in which they were maybe denigrated by their parents or at school, or maybe bullied, or perhaps grew up in an unstable family environment where parents were either alcoholics or drug addicts, or if they grew up in an environment, even if they had wealthy parents, if the parents were indifferent to them, it leaves people with scars that sometimes have to be dealt with in order for them to come into a full capacity of who they are.
I completely agree, and I think it's of course, all of this is I guess the process of becoming.
Yeah.
I'm saying that when a person is able to truly open their heart without fear of necessarily having it being trampled, and I'm not just talking in a romantic way,
mm-hmm.
but when you really open your heart, there are things in the world that come to you.
This is so true, and I think the sticking point there is that, you know, people will say, well, I don't know how to do that, really. And part of that is that very often, you know, in different situations, everyone does it. But the amount of impact it has will depend on your experience. But what happens is that we move out of these early experiences. We're no longer in the care of indifferent parents, and we're no longer struggling at school, or we're no longer in these situations, but we have adopted the voice of oppression as our own inner voice. And what happens is that people become very doubtful or very passive and very fearful, because they're constantly rehashing the issues as they occurred maybe decades ago. And we don't realize is when we get into that mode of being self-critical or self-denigrating, is that it's like not allowing the wound to ever close up. Or you could think of it as multiple wounding of a person's spirit and psyche. And so there is sometimes it becomes necessary for a process of healing. You know, sometimes we can do it on our own, and sometimes we can seek help for it. And I recognize it because I've gone through this process many times. I have a tendency to be very over committed, over dedicated to a particular cause, to a particular event, to a particular person. And I will hold on to that situation much longer than I should. It's kind of a pattern that I've experienced. And so I'm one of these people who very often it's the universe that moves me from one state to another state, which is okay. You know, I can accept that, and it seems to work for me, actually. But I do recognize that when this occurs, I find myself in a state or a space where I'm required to take the time and the energy to refocus my attention inward, to redirect my energies towards my own goals and my own transformative processes. So for me, it's been very useful. It's kind of an intense way to do it, but it's been very useful in that I feel very much catapulted whenever this occurs, that I become almost an entirely different kind of person. I'm able to accomplish a lot in that processing of where I am, where I want to go, you know, the goals and all that. And rededicating important. Myself. Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's very important. And I think that perhaps on a cultural or societal level, even when we're younger, many people aren't encouraged to even voice what their goals are in life.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether or not that has anything to do with a person's ability to voice them as they grow into adulthood. But, you know, I think of how often or not are even children asked to, you know, to express what it is that they see themselves doing in the future.
So that it's true. And it's even more true now because schools don't even have that creative resource anymore.
Hmm.
I'm not sure that, you know, with so many children on medication to keep them still, and with the school being so primarily focused on testing, there's it's almost devoid of creativity. So I think that kids who have been going to school or who are in school, especially public schools, now are probably going to have an even greater problem because they're not really being prepared to be, you know, this kind of independent, self-sustaining individual. They're being prepared to follow rules, to get a job as opposed to start a company. You know, they're prepared to be drones, you know, rather than, you know, butterflies. So it's kind of an interesting problem. And I think one of the other issues that people deal with, that, you know, some of the barriers to creating the life that would bring joy is healing and dealing with feelings of shame, you know, situations where they are afraid to express themselves because they've been shamed in some way in their developmental process. So I think that, you know, there are some of us, such as yourself especially, who have been graced and perhaps blessed with a certain state of self-awareness and understanding of what you need and a willingness to make that choice. And then there are people like me who can figure it out and see it, but usually, you know, hanging on to the bitter end and get sort of booted out and end up in my new choice. And then there are people who just live these quiet lives of desperation, who never quite are able to take that step so that they can feel as if there is light, you know, in their life, in their hearts, in their minds. And so I think it's part of the spiritual journey and part of spiritual practice and healing on a spiritual level is to, you know, traverse that journey to sort of dig into those obstacles and release them so that one can move on to do what they want to do instead of being angry and depressed or in some way suffering because the life is not what we would wish it to be. So it's interesting.
Truly, and I think we all are in somewhat different personal situations. And so I realize that, you know, maybe some of the options that may come to me may not come to other people because of their individual lives. And myself, obviously myself included, I kind of sometimes think that, you know, you're doing what you're meant to be doing in the universe at this particular time. And when it's time for you to move on, you will know that. And it may come to you in different ways, but it does come. Whether you follow your internal, you know, messaging, that's a different story. But you do end up knowing when it's time to move on. And sometimes people don't have the option, really, to do certain things. And that I realize as well.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. Many people don't have the options to mm-hmm. maybe take a big leap. But
yeah.
I do think it's important to be willing to take small steps.
I totally agree.
And so for a person maybe who is working a job, it's sustaining them and their families, that's a pretty high priority.
Of course.
But at the same time, it's important to find something in your life to be passionate about, to get joy from, that will allow you to engage. Because very often what happens is that people become numbed, they become numb and they become desensitized, and they begin to live a life that is, not fulfilling, even though they're doing something that's important and fulfilling in, you know, taking care of the basics, which is important.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there needs to be a balance. People can be willing to find a balance within themselves and within their lives that will allow them to be passionate about their life and to find spaces of joy. And the truth of it is, you're right. Everyone is where they need to be. So if a person happens to be a truck driver or a train conductor or a school teacher or whatever it is they do, you know, they're doing good work if they can remain passionately engaged with it. I always enjoy being on the train, and occasionally you'll get a train conductor who says poetry, or you'll find a train conductor who will give you the time, or will say something, you know, tell jokes, and you could see that this is a person who's engaged in their everyday experience. They happen to be doing what they're doing, but they're still enjoying life. And getting to that point is an important part of the path. And when you're in that state, you're much more likely to be able to make whatever changes if you need to or if you want to. But if you can enjoy what you're doing, maybe a change isn't warranted. You know, maybe that's exactly where you need to be. I mean,
exactly.
Because when I hear that train conductor telling a joke or acting silly, I see people all over the train chuckling.
Mm-hmm.
So he's actually doing work that's more powerful sometimes than maybe even a preacher would be doing in a church. Because the preacher might be talking to you about, you know, the religious life or God, but the conductor is actually opening the heart and
yes.
allowing you to breathe and connect. So it's important for all of us to think how we can do that wherever we are. And that's another way of coming into a sense of fulfillment within our life.
Certainly, and I think it's a very calming thing to. I like the example of the conductor. It's very calming and sort of a unifying experience. One, when you realize that the person who is speaking to you through those microphones on the train is actually really enjoying their job. They're relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another thing when they strike a chord and everyone's sitting in a particular train car and you're all laughing at the same joke.
Yeah.
And
then that connects people to each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So really it's about finding within yourself that part of you that you can be authentic,
mm-hmm.
and expressive within whatever it is that you do, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you're working in the workforce, or stay-at-home dad. Actually, there's a lot of them these days.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to do that. And also I think that we can have an impact on people's lives based on the way we talk to people, the amount, you know, treating people with courtesy, looking them in the eye, asking them how they're doing, you know, just taking an extra couple of minutes, even if you're in the grocery line, at the supermarket, or you're at a little vendor stand, to just take a minute and say, you know, how are you today? What's going on with, you know, and, you know, unless it's, you know, maybe a big line, but even, you know, the smallest connection, eye to eye, heart to heart, can transform a person's day and can transform your day as well.
Sure. And I sometimes, I mean, when I am in the neighborhood where I live and I may go out and do a certain errands, I'm finding that these days I'm making a lot more connections with perfect strangers whose paths I cross.
Mm-hmm.
We'll sort of look at each other, and it's this sort of silent acknowledgement. You know, it's a hello, you know, if that's person's personality, but there are other people that you see, and you nod at each other, and you kind of have this silent understanding.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I think I'm going to play a little music. And, you know, just to break up the conversation a little bit.
Okay.
And we'll be back in just a moment, and we'll resume our conversation.
Okay.
The prophet said that truth has declared, I am not hidden in what is high or low, nor in the earth, nor the skies, nor a throne. This is certainty, oh beloved. I am hidden in the heart of the faithful. If you seek me, seek in these hearts. If you seek me, seek in these hearts.
Seek in me, seek in the sky, seek in your heart. Seek in me, seek in the sky, seek in your
نظر آیا نہ پھر جب تو نظر آیا مجھے
And that was
very beautiful.
Thank you. That was the Spirit of Rumi, Vision 2, the name of the performers are the Spirit of Rumi, Vision 2. And let's see, that was called Seek in Your Heart. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I love that deeply spiritual music. And I think so often we get caught up in the thinking mind and don't recognize how powerful the heart is as a guidance factor in our lives, and connecting to the heart, you know, and you can do that through breathing, many ways to do it, but that really helps us to get in touch with that inner knowing, that intuitive space that can allow us to reach a state of peace within ourselves. When we're following our hearts, we can be happy. Most often when you're following your mind or listening to the mind, it's going to make you unhappy because the mind is designed to judge and take things apart and look for danger and figure things out and weigh and measure and what if. And so the mind will get you into a kind of trap if you're allowing it to be the only power that guides you. I mean, the mind is important. We need to think, and we do need those skill sets. But it's only useful when we are connected to the truth of our heart, so that we can have that authenticity in terms of what we're doing, and not doing things because it sounds right, it seems right, somebody said, it looks like the best opportunity. We have to first connect to that inner self, and then the mind becomes useful as it helps to guide you along that path. So I this is a great CD, and I do love that particular song. Maybe at the end we'll play another piece. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to let people know, a few weeks ago I offered a series of affirmations. I use affirmations in my work, and I have 4 affirmations. They're PDF documents that I can send to folks that you can use as you are following your path and working on the obstacles that might be there for you. All you'd need to do is send an email to heartofmindradio@gmail.com. and I'll send you these affirmations. And I'm not going to, well, there's four that I'm sending out. I have about 12, but these four. And the one, I'll read one of them at this moment. And this is the one I used, 15 years ago. I started using this one. And I've been writing affirmations as far as I can remember, I guess. And it's, when you do an affirmation, you do it in the present tense as the I am. And the reason for that is so that the message will be perceived by your inner being and your inner mind as a truth. When you say to yourself, I want such and such, the message that gets through to the inner mind is, I want. And so what the universe will give you is a continuation of the experience of being in want. And so if you say, I'm going to try to do this, what you will have is a long series of trials and trying and very few successes. So when you're using an affirmation, it's important to be very affirmative and very clear of your understanding and your intent. And so this one is about moving forward and countering some of that negative self-talk. And it's, I am whole, happy, healthy, and complete in every way. I am divinely guided in all that I do. I am divinely protected and can be not harmed by any force outside of my being. I am in love with the totality of my being and accept and integrate all aspects of myself. I transform all aspects into radiant facets of the totality of my being. So this is just an affirmation so that when people come, I do it myself, you know, and you have a tendency to have these negative phrases or negative talk that you might repeat, and it will take you down the path towards dissolution and depression. So it's really important to build up that inner self with an affirmation that can help you to manage that inner dialogue that can get in the way. That's really the purpose of this particular manifestation, in that it does a few things. It helps you to make that connection to your divine guidance. It allows you to understand that you are protected and cannot be harmed by forces outside of your being. And that really is, in a sense, we attract what comes to us. So if something is in your face or is coming to you, it's usually attracted to us either by our fears or by our attitudes or by our behaviors. And over time, it begins to manifest in our experience. So there needs to be an understanding that we can have a very powerful impact on our lives by managing the inner dialogue and by transforming the feelings that are obstacles to ourselves. And that's what this transformation of aspects into radiant facets, you know, transforming that fear into a sense of fearlessness. Of course, in being fearless, one also needs wisdom. But so this is what affirmations help to support. Of course, they only work with the intent of the person who wants to make those transformations. So anyone who wants that, send an email to heartofmindradio@gmail.com. And I'll also mention that I do work with people privately if anyone is interested in that. They can call 347-480-1694. That's 347-480-1694. Or also you could send an email to heartofmindradio@gmail.com. So a big presentation there, interruption to our conversation, but I wanted to get some of that in before we get to the last moment of time. So it's just one of those things where it's really important to pay attention to what's happening with us, and so often we don't. Or we run to the drugstore or to get a prescription for things that are going on in our lives or to run to therapy. I'm not against therapy, certainly. But sometimes therapy can become a holding pattern. That's what it became for me. I did try therapy for a time, and it was helpful for a time, but then it sort of bottomed out and just couldn't get any, couldn't make progress there. And it was because it just deals with the level of the mind. It doesn't deal with the openness of the heart necessarily. It doesn't deal with resolving, actually removing the energetic imbalances that come from being wounded or come from those feelings. And it doesn't really... At least for me, it didn't move me forward at a time, and you know, it just reached that plateau. So I find that you know, therapy can work for some, and it can work for many some of the time, but very often there's a whole body of possibilities that people can do, even movement, taking a yoga class, taking a Qigong class, taking Tai Chi, going to the gym. It's like one of the leading causes, I feel, of depression is just lethargy, exhaustion and lethargy. You know, getting out of that state of being exhausted so that you can move, and then move so that the energy can move. And when you do the movement, you bring out all the endorphins, your body starts to feel better, you start to feel tone, you start to look better. So it's a lot of it is about movement. It's not about thinking. It's about doing something or resolving something energetically. I know the one of the things that I talk about in the work that I do is that healing for me is like a vision quest. You know, in shamanic cultures, young people go out into the jungle and they are there to survive, and they have all these challenges and fears, and as they overcome these challenges, they are matured into adults. And very often there are vision quests in which people go into isolation, or they'll go into the mountains or into a cave, or maybe just stay at home for a while and just go inward and meditate and just allow things to arise that they may have not been paying attention to or that they have been suppressing. So you have to give it that space to allow. And in a way, that's doing something as well. So from my perspective, talking helps. And doing is important as well. And taking into account all the different systems of our being, because we are a mind, a body, a spirit, a soul. And a lot of people think of themselves, I certainly do, as being part of the collective divinity of one. So for those of us who think of it that way, if there's one source, then everything is a manifestation of that one source, and we hold the same qualities of divinity and wholeness and multidimensionality. So it's about opening up all those potentials for ourselves beyond the point of feeling whole and healed, and beyond that we move into the higher potentials of us as human beings of divine origin.
Wow.
I know. A mouthful.
That was deep.
Well, I have another affirmation, which actually talks about this, so I'll just read this one more. And it's, I am multidimensional awareness, light and sound. I am a divine expression of the One, Mother, Father, Prime Creator. I am a child of the Divine Mother and the Divine Terra Gaia. I honor my ancestors, my mother and my father. I am a child of the Oversoul and the manifestation of my soul. I am a child of God and the God of my own creation. I am a cosmic being in human form, creating the manifestation of heaven on earth. I am that I am.
Mm.
So that's the second of four. And these are free. I'm just sending them out because, you know, part of the mission of this work, of course, I have to, like everyone else, earn an income. So, you know, I do a lot of different kinds of work. But part of the mission of the work that I do here on the radio and my writing and my teaching is to be an assistant to people in their healing and transformative processes. Because we're all growing, you know, there's never an end to the development one can attain.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree with you more. Mm. And I was just thinking of what you're saying, that your experience with therapy. And I realized that there are several forms of therapy. And I know that there's something called deep feeling therapy, where you release what you're holding inside of you.
Yeah, and that's very important.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're correct. There are so many different kinds of therapy, and there's you know, therapy that's sort of movement oriented. There's a lot of therapy that's like anger release, anger management. There are many different kinds of therapy. I'm not really saying that it's anything wrong with it or that it doesn't work. I think it works for millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't find in the end that it worked for me. It worked for me for a time,
mm-hmm.
and then I plateaued. And then I had, you know, just it came a time that it didn't work. And, you know, the worst thing in the world is to hang around doing something that's not working for you.
I know.
So, you know, that was, I was just speaking to my own experience. And, you know, my background is more in the realm of energy and, you know, vibrational healing and stuff like that, which is probably why after a point, the talk therapy, I felt like it wasn't working. But the good thing of it was, you know, it's my own individual journey, first of all, but it also moved me back into that space of doing what I'm called to do, which is the energy work.
Certainly.
So it was life giving me what I needed. And we can all, and you know, that's really part of the vision quest, is looking for the message in what's going on in our life. What is it telling us?
Yeah.
And so that's really the key to taking advantage of the understanding. Whatever it is, it is, and there's nothing wrong with it, but let's see what the message is and if there's some useful thing that we can derive from that message. Even if it's just the release and healing of something.
Definitely. And I think that it's the journey.
Yeah.
You know, it's as I said earlier, it's the, I guess they call it the state of becoming,
mm-hmm.
that you're somewhat always in a work of progress. And included is in that is this constant learning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can certainly say that I'm not the same person that I was even 5 or 7 or 8 years ago.
Mm.
And so it's not something that I would have necessarily been able to predict it's just been something that, you know, a journey that I decided that I would go through, and by the time I was in the middle, there was just no turning back. I realized that I had to just sort of keep in the same direction.
Stay in the flow of it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, that is true. And I think that's part of what allows for natural transitions and transformations and upliftment to occur is if you're moving in the flow,
mm-hmm.
the flow, you know, the winding river of that will take you where you need to be. But if you're resisting it, you know, sort of holding on to a tree branch or something, you're going to get battered about by the water or the situations that we're in.
Yes.
So staying in the flow is a big part of having an easier time, and resistance is a way to cause more difficulty.
Yes, and there's something that you said to me in the past that I thought was really wonderful. You said something to the effect of, you possess all of the skills you need. You already have what you need.
Yeah. I came to realize that. You know, it's like, how many things can you study? How many things can you want? How many, you know, it's like, it's all, I've followed my path. I've done a lot of things. I've studied with a lot of people. I've cultivated my own work. I'm happy with it. It's very rewarding to be able to work with someone and see that makes a difference in their life.
Mm.
And, I mean, I've always done that, but, you know, at the moment I'm doing it without being bound to an outside authority. You know, it's just me and the world, and, you know, the relationships that are cultivated through my experiences. And it's a very liberating place to be, to have that kind of confidence and feeling that, yeah, I actually have what I need. I actually have all the skills that I need. I have all we have to do, really, and this is true of most, all we have to do is to begin to access what we have.
Yes, certainly. I know I keep saying the word certainly, but it's a habit of mine. But I think at a very deep level, we are. I mean, each person is enough, and you or a person possesses all of the power that they need to do what they need to do or set to do in this world. It is a question of tapping into it.
Exactly. And one of the things that's really fortunate about the time that we're living in right now is that when we can bring ourselves into that alignment of the heart, we can become very connected to that soul part of our being, that facet of ourself that is the, you know, the connection between us and the divine source. That's what our soul really is that we, it's the channel through which our divinity arrives in our body, from the source into the oversoul, into our individual souls, into our awakened awareness, should we awaken to that reality, that part of who we are. So that's really the power of connecting into the heart wisdom, is that you're opening the door first through intuition and insight into your soul's guidance. And when you're feeling that your life is in alignment, things are working, you're doing what you want to do, you feel okay, that's what it means. It means that you're living in alignment with your soul.
Hmm.
That's what it means. And if there's some disharmony, then that means that there's space for you to move around and discover that connection, or to allow it to become stronger within you. I mean, some people are just connected, no spirituality. You don't have to be spiritual. You don't have to believe in it necessarily. Some people are just very connected, you know, very soulful, very in their hearts, very giving, loving, caring people. Don't believe in God. Doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It's not really about religion or belief systems. It's really, I'm speaking of connecting into your own deepest self, that part of us that we lose when we get addicted to television or addicted to drugs or addicted to sex or addicted to anything, in that diversion of that, or in that ego space of trying to prove that we're okay or prove that we're right, or, you know, feel like we need people to be a certain way. So we can lose ourselves when we get too much extended into the outer world for our sense of being. If we can leave the outer world and let it be what it is, I mean, it is what it is, but find that strength of being on the inside, then that is how we remain connected to our soul, and has absolutely nothing to do with religion, really. Religions study that and teach that, but it's really not about that, the religions themselves.
Yeah, I find that the most memorable connections that I've had with people when I was younger, when I would travel to other parts of the world, is that even with people that I could not necessarily verbally communicate, we spoke different languages, we were still able to understand each other perfectly well. In the sense that there's just a certain connection that we as human beings have with each other. And again, I think what you're saying about heart has to do a lot with it. But it says a lot to be able, you know, to, let's say, walk into a hospital in another country, into a ward full of people, and to acknowledge them and they acknowledge, well, in this case, I acknowledge them and they acknowledge me, even though we may not be able to, you know, have a conversation where we understand each other verbally. Mm-hmm. But there was just something about walking into a room and nodding to them and they're responding to me that said a lot. And it's really a human connection. And I agree that it's important to have a sense of heart and empathy and compassion and sort of a combination of the heart and mind, hence heart of mind, mm-hmm. to feel that connection no matter who you meet in this world.
Exactly. And to have that same level of caring and compassion for oneself.
Certainly.
You know, yes. No, really. I mean, I think that's often where I found myself getting into difficulty, is I would leave myself out of the equation. You know, I was a caretaker for my mother for many, many years, and you know, she was my priority, and, you know, I worked here at WBAI for many years, and, you know, the station was my priority, and, you know, so I've put myself in situations where I didn't keep myself in the equation, and that's usually how I personally got into difficulty, and so I'm always feel the need to remind people that, you know, like they say, when you're on a plane, you have to put your own gas air mask on, you know, before you help anybody else. Because if you pass out, you can't help anyone else. But very often people who have the kind of a helper healing personality don't do that. They don't make sure that they're taking care of themselves, that they're getting breakfast every morning, that they're drinking enough water, really basic stuff, you know. And I think that we all have to pay attention to the basic things that we need to be able to flourish and thrive and be well. Because most illness, I believe, not most, a lot of illness comes from self-neglect.
I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. And I also think that it has to do sometimes with how you handle your stress.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That has, yeah, that's an equal part of the equation, I would say. Stress is a real killer. It can be a killer. And people don't manage it well. You know, a lot of people don't manage stress well. That's why these mind-body techniques are so important, because it allows you to train yourself to manage the stress and entrain your system so that you don't take on the stress in the first place.
That's very important. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't have the choice but to go through the stress, but there are ways to process it that it is less harmful to your physical self.
Absolutely, and less harmful to other people, because I always found it quite interesting that people who are argumentative and angry and abusive are not very stressed out, because they're releasing their stress, but they're dumping it on other people. So the idea is to